Before we begin our Torah study, we'd like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. As Rick Ray so well described at the beginning of the service this morning, Deuteronomy is a book of review and repetition. And you know, parents, that sometimes you have to tell your children more than once to get things across. And sometimes you have to say it more than twice. And almost every parent has had the experience of saying to their kids, "You're not listening." And what you mean is you're not taking in what I'm telling you. Your ears may be working, but they're not connected to your brain and your heart. Why is it important to connect to both the brain and the heart? Because the brain can hear and understand, but the heart can say, I don't want to do it. And so in order to get things deep into a person, you have to speak to every part of them. And in Deuteronomy, we see that God wants us to know that he understands that and that he cares for us, and yet he wants to be strong in communicating to us. Deuteronomy, in so many ways, is a recap of earlier books in Torah. And it's helpful to us to review, especially as we're continuing our Kadima focus. What does Kadima mean? Forward. And it also means charge. So whether you are going forward fast or slow, you want to go forward. So smile at someone nearby you and just say, "Kadima, Kadima, forward, forward." Last night I said a brash statement, but I meant it. This congregation is going to stay focused on Kadima, forward, through the end of the year. You know why? We want to keep moving forward. If anybody wants to go backwards, just find another congregation. I say that with a smile. No, we don't want to go back, do we? We want to go forward with God. We want to go forward into the future and the hope that he has for us. We want to go forward into the plans that he has. We know that he's faithful. We know that God is wanting to take us into greater things. And he has blessings we haven't experienced. He has revelation of his mercy and his love that is fresh and new. The scriptures tell us that the faithfulness of God is new and fresh every morning. So every day that you wake up can be a fresh experience of the immediate covenantal love of our God. Well, this week's Torah portion recaps several important ideas that help us move forward as we're looking to God for breakthroughs. And the first one that I want to reflect on is described in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. So you can turn there. We have spoken about this over the course of the last few months, but it's interesting that today this is being read all over the world in our synagogues. It says in explanation that Israel is about to go into the land that God has promised. And as we'll read, this land is currently inhabited by nations that have done such evil that they have forfeited their right to exist and their right to possess territory. And so Israel is going into the land, and God says through Moses, "The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little." How do you say little by little? Ma'at ma'at, little by little. "You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or else the wild animals would multiply around you and be too great." You see, there are times when God wants to give us a great breakthrough, but he knows that we will not be able to hold on to it if we get it all at once. We have to be prepared to keep the breakthrough. Lottery winners who unexpectedly get millions of dollars often have nothing left of their winnings just a year, two, or three later. And one of the reasons is they're not ready to manage and be responsible for that much. They get it and then they lose it. How would you like to be a $1 million winner? Who would like that? How'd you like to be a $1 million loser? So many people who win like that, lose like that. So they start with nothing and they end up with nothing, and along the way they squander whatever it is that they got. God is saying to Israel, I don't want you to lose what I give you. And you would lose it, because if I give you this land all at one time, there are dangers there that you're not prepared for. And they will overrun you, and as a result, you won't have what I intended to give you. So I'm going to give it to you little by little. That way, you can hold on to it. It's a very important principle. Some breakthroughs come little by little. They don't come all at once. And we need to have an attitude of thanksgiving every time we get a little bit, or someone we care about gets a little bit. You see, if you can rejoice in the victories of someone else, you'll have your own. If you can rejoice in a little, you'll get more. Yeshua taught this. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He said, whoever can be trusted with very little, say very little, can also be trusted with much. You see, God will sometimes want to give you much, but he'll start by giving you very little. And if you look at this very little, you say, what's this? It's nothing. Then you don't understand the heart of God. Because the heart of God is often to give a little and to use a very little in order to do something great. What's the miracle of Hanukkah? A very little, right? Not enough. And yet, for 8 days, there was light. What's the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? Very little, right? Start with very little, and then it multiplies. Well, this very little is also connected to how you manage things. Matthew 25, verse 23 is a strong parable. And we won't go into the negative side, we'll only look at the positive side today. And in this parable, the one is told, you've been faithful with a few things. Say that with me, a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. You see, it's not just very little, but it's a few things. Sometimes you'll get a few things, and if you're faithful with that, you'll get many things. God's plan is to give you many things. What's the requirement? Be faithful with a few things. Be faithful with a little, be faithful with a few. And not only that, Yeshua teaches us, the scriptures teach us, that if you're faithful with what belongs to another, you'll be given what? Your own. Faithful with a little, faithful with a few things. Faithful with others, then you're given your own. Many breakthroughs are built on this principle. God is wanting to bring you into the greater thing. What's required? Be faithful with the little thing. And I like the warning of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. It says, don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Why do you think people do despise small things and small beginnings? Because they want big things. And they think small things are nothing. But isn't it true that every baby starts as small things? And do you know that God explicitly declares in Deuteronomy chapter 7, earlier in the chapter, that he works through a few to do something great. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, you're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than other peoples. So it's not that you were great and powerful, but it was because you were the least of all peoples. You were the least of all peoples, and because the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. So what's his driving motivation? It's love. It's not just love, too. It's love and faithfulness. He loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And it goes on to tell us that God loves us, and he watches over us, and he protects us. And he wants us to live in that way towards him and towards others. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't say, oh, we don't have enough to do what needs to be done. Believe that God works through not enough. God works through very little. God works through a few things. And he does great things, not small things, in this way. Now, the second idea worth reviewing is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It can be summed up in a couple of sentences. God wants to bless us and show his favor and mercy to us, and we need to remember the Lord is the source of our blessings. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 7. It says, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. You know, that's good news for anyone who's been wandering in a desert for 40 years. Guess what? Plenty of water. Verse 8, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. That's really good news for people who have been eating manna for 40 years. You think your diet's tough. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Verse 10. And when you've eaten and you're full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. You see, this is a keen insight into human nature. Sometimes we seek God when we're in trouble, when we are experiencing lack and insufficiency. But God wants us to seek him when we're full, when we have blessings of abundance and great bounty, when he has given to us more than we have room for, he wants us to be faithful to him. And how do we express that faithfulness? With thanksgiving. We say, thank you, Lord, for this. Sometimes when people get what they need, they forget who gave it to them. Sometimes when people get what they need, they forget that they even needed. Do you know the great anecdote? There's this guy desperate to get to his doctor's appointment. He couldn't find anywhere to park, and he desperately needed to see his doctor. And he prayed this prayer, maybe you have. Oh, Lord, give me a parking space. And then he made that kind of bargain that people do. And Lord, if you give me that parking space, honestly, I will tithe. All of a sudden, before his eyes, he sees an empty place. And he says, never mind, I found one. Sometimes we're like that. And the scripture says, when you found your parking place, bless the Lord. When you've eaten and are full, bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. It's also important, as this passage points out, that we remember where we came from, the situation that we were in, because sometimes when we get out of a situation, we forget how bad it was. And we don't recount to the Lord what he brought us through. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. How? By not keeping his commands, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, verse 12. Long description here. When you have eaten and are full, and you have built beautiful houses, and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Does that sound like a lot of blessing? When your heart, here's the caution, when your heart is lifted up, that's an idiom, when you become proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This, in one short passage, describes to us why celebrating Passover is so important to us. We must remember where we came from. And in fact, one of the mandates of Passover is we must experience it as if we ourselves were delivered. It says you could forget. You could forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land. It's not only that you forget what he did for you, you forget him. You take no note of who he is and what he does. Verse 15, the one who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water. He's reminding Israel, do you remember how hard it was on this journey? It was awful. But he brought water for you out of the flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers never knew. And he humbled you, and he tested you to do you good in the end. You see, he took you through all of this to put something deep within you so that people can't take it away from you. The only one who can take it away from you is you by forgetting. And having said all that, that you become proud, and then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Where did this great house come from? I earned it. Where did all this blessing come from? From my own hands. You see, God wants us to know that he reduces us sometimes to nothing so that he can add everything that we have from there. And when we have gone through times of nothingness, and then we go through times of plenty, we can say to him, you're the source of my plenty. The reason I have plenty now is you gave it to me. Verse 18. Remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you power to gain wealth. Can you say that? Repeat after me. It is he who gives you power to gain wealth. That's good. He's the one who gives us power. For countless generations, Jewish people have believed this, that God gives us power. Even in times of insufficiency, even in times of loss, we've held on to this. Some of the Jews who came out of the Holocaust and some of those who came out of the Arab lands and moved to Israel came with nothing and started all over again with nothing, and then they prospered and they had a vision. God who blesses us will give us much. We must be faithful. We must be generous. You shall remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you power to gain wealth, so that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. When we give our whole tithe, the tenth to the Lord, when we bring it to the house of God, it helps us remember that it's God who gives us power to gain wealth. And we say, Lord, everything I have belongs to you, and I bring this token 10% to acknowledge you're the rightful owner of it all. Now, the last idea that I want to review with you is found in the next chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 9. It's right before where it follows right after the statement that you're about to cross over the Jordan today. You're about to go over. And so Moses says, you're about to go over into the land that's been promised to you. You're about to receive what God has promised to you, and I want to speak to your heart about something. I want you to understand something. I want you to get it deep in your mind and connect what's in your mind to what's in your heart. Take this really seriously. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy 9. Do not think in your heart. Isn't that a fascinating construction? Don't think in your heart. Don't think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast out those who are in the land now. Don't think this. Because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. So many times when we get a breakthrough, when we get the thing that we've been looking for, working for, hoping for, we begin to think we got it because we were good. And we even give advice in this way to people who haven't gotten their breakthrough. You need to be better, like me. We act like that. And here's the warning. Don't think it's because you're good. But it is because they're so bad. It's because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. They lost what had been given to them because they did such things that forfeited their right as nations to continue to exist. Verse 5, it's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you. And that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Therefore, understand this. The Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. Let me ask you a question. Is Moses a Jew? Yes, he is. That was easy, wasn't it? Is he highly regarded by the Jewish people? Yes. Is he an anti-Semite? Are you sure? Okay, if you're sure, we'll read on. If you're not, Moses is not an anti-Semite. He's a lover of the Jewish people. But he's a leader too. And leaders don't just tell people what they want to hear, they tell them what they need to hear. The Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, because you are a stiff-necked people. So Moses is not anti-Semitic. And we're not to read this as rejection, we're to understand something. We are stubborn. Sandy can say, oh, I know that about me. I come from a stubborn lot. You're stiff-necked. You see, it's not our own righteousness that earns us God's blessings. It's his favor upon us. We have stiff necks. Our hearts aren't always faithful and true, but God is faithful. And it's through his mercy that he shows us favor. This is so important. It's foundational for having a right relationship with God. There are times when people think that they only get good things if they deserve good, and then they can become proud when they get good things and judgmental of others. But there are also times when people who think that way think that they don't deserve any blessing because they're not good enough, and they live in a constant state of apprehension, of fear, of discouragement, of doubt, because they find themselves lacking in some way, and they think that disqualifies them. But God's saying, it's not because you're powerful, and it's not because you're good. It's not even because your heart is right. It's because I love you, and I keep you, and I hold on to you, and you're my family. You're my children. That's why I bless you. That helps us. It also helps us come to terms with the reality of the new covenant, that the new covenant asserts we need forgiveness and we need atonement for our sin. And to understand what Yeshua did, we must understand that we are insufficient before God, and our best deeds are not good enough to be described as righteousness by a holy God. It's not because we're righteous. It's not because we're good. It's because he's merciful to us. If you think about this past week and the ways that you failed, you might feel bad. But I want you to feel something else in addition to that. I want you to feel good that God, who is merciful, still loves you and wants to bring you through every failure into blessing. He wants you to rise up because you stay close to him. Now turn back for just a minute. To chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. It will come to pass because you listen to these judgments and you keep and do them. Let's say that. Listen, keep, do. That the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant of the mercy which he swore to your fathers, and he will love you and bless you and multiply that. Let's say that together. Love you and bless you and multiply you. And it goes on. He'll bless the fruit of your womb. He'll bless you above other peoples. He'll take away from you all sickness. Those are great blessings. Now, let's conclude in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? What does he ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep his commandments, his statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good. This is what God requires, to fear him. Say that with me. Fear him, walk in his ways, love him, serve him with your heart, with your soul, and do what he commands. And then it goes on, verse 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. One of the great contributions of Jewish thought to the world is that God is not just extraterrestrial or eternal or heavenly. He is the God of heaven and earth. And so what's important is not only the things that you will experience after you die, but the things you experience now in this world. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. You see, there's a remedy for being stiff-necked. Change the heart. The circumcision of the heart happens through faith in Messiah. Verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe, powerful and strong. That's the description. Verse 18, this shows us what he does with his power. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. For this reason, you love the stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. You shall hold fast to him. You shall take oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. That's a nice wrap-up. You were so few, and now you have multiplied. And that is a testimony of God's faithfulness. I know this. I know God is wanting to bless us more as a congregation, as families, as people, in the very areas that we currently have the most problems in. And so think about your area of challenge and difficulty. That's an area God wants to do great and mighty work on your behalf. If you think he's only going to bless you in the things you can already manage, wrong. He wants to bless you in the things you can't manage. How many of you are in favor of that? Getting help for what you can't handle. He's a rewarder of the ones who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your favor, your mercy expressed to us through your son, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, for resurrection life. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for love that is faithful, steady, and secure. You are so good. You show mercy to us that we could never deserve. Lord, I pray for the outpouring of hope and faith and courage and clear vision upon us as a community, that we would see things that you're seeing and that we would rise up in response, that we would listen and we would keep and we would do, all because we love you. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? If you're by yourself, just move around so you're not by yourself. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha, yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you shalom, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, amen. Shabbat shalom.